Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
This morning, we are going to deviate from our normal trajectory. We've been doing a series on presence, and this morning, we're going to, our whole meeting this morning is geared around family. It is Family Sunday. You may have noticed some little ones up here. I know Kim Josar, I would have thought would have been up here because she's short, but we had, she's not here, I can say stuff. If you don't know her, she's really tiny, but we love her. She spoke a few weeks ago, she was awesome. So this morning we had streamers and kids and everything. So in the meeting this morning, there will be children. And can I just say this? I love it. You know, when there's noise in the house, there's life in the house. It's a beautiful thing. And so if you have kids, you know, don't have them playing tag, you know, and hit the person in front of you with a ball in the head. We're not advocating that so much. But it is Family Sunday. We have the children in. And it's so funny. I'm going to get to it in just a second. Can you imagine what heaven is going to be like? Some people actually think heaven's going to be sterile and quiet and nobody talks, nobody laughs. It's just going to be somber. But actually, the Bible says it notes the silence only for, I think it was 30 minutes. It's going to be, I was going to say wild. It will be worship. It will be sound. It will be children. Are there going to be kids in heaven? I mean, are we all going to be full grown? I don't know. We'll talk about that another Sunday. But there's going to be life in heaven, excitement. And so if you like church quiet, you may be out of place here. But Jesus said, what you see in heaven, have on earth. And so we love kids, we love life, we love family, and that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Instead of presence, it's going to be a focus on family. As I said yesterday, my wife and I, we were in Chicago, we were at a wedding, we got to see our grandkids, and it's so funny. Most of us all come from very, very, very different backgrounds, unless you're one of the Worm family, and there's 94 of them in this family, in this church. But so many of us, we came from different family backgrounds. My mom and dad, it was only my sister and I. That was it. We didn't have grandparents who were thousands of miles away, no aunts, no uncles, no cousins. It was just mom, dad, and my sister and I. And my mom was a first grade school teacher, my stepmom, first grade school teacher, and she ran the house like she ran her classroom. There was no noise in our house growing up. You weren't allowed to talk back. That was loss of teeth. I mean, I jest, kind of. But my parents were not Christians. I never heard or saw my parents argue one time. Unbelievers. I never heard my mother ever raise her voice. Ever. And that was just the environment that I was raised in. So I kind of like it quiet. And then I got married. And we have four children, and three of the four, you wouldn't think are from my side of the family. It's just bedlam. It's wonderful. It's noisy. There's a Kyle child right there. I don't know how they snuck into the room, but we know where they are. I love when there's noise in the house. It's a sign of life. It's a beautiful thing. And I totally understand there are some people who don't like it. They struggle with it. And I may touch on that in just a minute. And it's okay, we're all different. Jesus has made us different. But can I use heaven as my grid rather than maybe my natural family or my natural disposition, how I like things? How does Jesus like things? What does the Bible talk about family? What does the Bible talk about children? I'm going to talk about child dedication. This morning, we're going to dedicate six children to the Lord. There was going to be a couple of more. We had some last-second casualties with some infirmity. And that happens. As parents, we know that happens. So we're going to have six children up this morning. We're going to dedicate them to the Lord. And I believe Jesus is leaning in this morning, watching, involving. Holy Spirit is here with us because he loves family. In Mark 14, when Jesus was speaking and he was praying, Jesus prayed this. Mark 14, verse 36. And he was saying, Jesus, and he was saying, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's about ready to go to the cross, and he is in such anguish. The scripture says his sweat was as if drops of blood. That's how much anguish Jesus was in. But he prayed to Yahweh, to the Lord God, in a way that it befuddled the Jewish people, the religious people of the day. Abba, it's a word that means daddy. And the Jewish people today, how dare you call him your father, much less that personal daddy. But that's what Jesus came to do, was to show them, show us the Father. Not some distant, austere spirit in the sky. Don't break out into the song. But Jesus came to educate, to show people, this is what heaven is like. They say it's like this, but Jesus said, I say this. Yeah. And he showed his disciples and humanity that lived 2,000 years ago, this is what heaven really looks like. I know you're not experiencing it now, 2,000 years ago, but I want you to understand, our Father in heaven is a good Father. He's daddy, yes. A good daddy. And that challenges so many of us on earth, because maybe many of us didn't have a good father, didn't have somebody that we would look at as daddy. And it challenges us because we don't have sometimes a grid to measure that against. Whether your dad was hard. My dad was a military guy. He was a drill sergeant in the Air Force. And it was by rule. And we learned manners. And I'm so thankful for how my dad raised me. But when I became a Christian, I had to re-educate my mind that my Father in heaven is not an Air Force drill sergeant. Does that make sense? He's not an Air Force drill sergeant. He's a father. He's a dad. And so when we come and celebrate as a family, one of the things that we do in this family is we do child dedication, which is different than me. I retired as a Methodist at the age of 12. Because football, baseball, anything was more important than church. Didn't like church. But I was sprinkled I don't remember it because I was like 2 weeks old. I was told I was there, and I'm sure I got wet. But I have no recollection of it. But I was sprinkled. My parents told me you were baptized, sprinkled as a child. But when I read the Bible, there's a different way to look at something rather than maybe do what American culture or church culture will teach us. The Bible has a different way. And I'm not saying everything else is wrong. It's just when I looked at the Bible, when I became a Christian at 18 from nothingness, ugliness, when I became a Christian at 18, they were baptizing people regularly in this church. And I'm like, what's that? That's a lot of sprinkle because they were dunking them. That's a whole bunch of sprinkle. I mean, ladies are losing their dues. I mean, that's commitment. You know, because that lady put a lot of time, like me, into the dew. And so child dedication, in this church I was in the 70s, they dedicated children. I'm like, what is that? Why are you doing that? And so people kindly began showing the Bible why they were doing certain things, why people were getting baptized, why children were being dedicated. And I love the Bible is not silent on God's heart towards children. Why do we dedicate children? Why do we do such things? In Psalm 127:3, the Bible shows us it puts a premium on children. The Lord loves kids. He's not waiting till they grow up and mature. He loves kids. He loves children. Psalm 127, verse 3 through 5, the Bible says this, Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. like arrows in the hand of a warrior. I've got some arrows. So are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with the enemies of the gate. They're a gift from heaven. So much of our culture, I'm sure you probably have heard it somewhere along. And again, it seems like there's a trend going on. Even we experience it in our own natural family, Randy and I. So many young couples nowadays, they don't want children. Why? They're expensive. That is a true story. Yes, they are. They're messy. Yes, they are. They don't do what you want them to do. That is also true. And so many young people just have a mindset of, I like what I like. I like my stuff. I like my time. I like to go away. I like a bigger house or more toys. And kids are expensive. We even see a culture, and again, I'm speaking from across the fence because I haven't actually been to this country, but in China, it seemed like for the last few decades, as a culture, there's a one child in the Chinese culture. And it was a son. The sons were the valuable ones. You think, why? Because we're made in the image of God. And God said, fill the earth, multiply. And we have an enemy that doesn't want that. He hates people that are made in the image of God, all people. And all of us pretty much have started out as a little child. And some of us are in process. We're celebrating this morning family. And we're celebrating dedicating children to the Lord. We don't do water baptism for little ones simply because we don't see that practice in the Bible. And this is, I'm not making a statement for or against anything, but people ask me, why do you do this? Why do you do that? Somebody just asked recently, what? Because we didn't do it this morning. Why do you guys, just for a series, just for the last few weeks, why are you having Tom speak first and worship afterwards? Nobody does that. There's a reason for that. And so some people say, why do you dedicate children and not baptize them? Not trying to make a statement opposed to anybody, but there's a reason why we do that. And Luke chapter 2, if you have a Bible, a paper Bible, you can flip to it, or you can look at the overhead. And Luke 2, the Gospel of Luke 2, verses 22 and 39 and 40, it speaks of Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus and his upbringing. Verse 22 of Luke 2 says, when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary, oh, look, the Bible, I got glasses. Joseph and Mary took him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Skip down a few verses to verse 39. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their hometown of Nazareth. So they presented them Jesus at the temple, which was a Jewish tradition. And yes, they circumcised the boys, but there was a culture, a kingdom culture, a God culture. I'm going to acknowledge the birth of this child, and I'm going to dedicate this child to the Lord. That was the tradition. Then when Jesus grew up, reading further on in Luke chapter 2, Jesus himself, verse 39. I'm sorry, I'll just read this. When Joseph and Mary had done everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee and their own hometown of Nazareth. And when the child grew and became strong, he was filled with wisdom and the grace of God was on him. Luke 3, verse 21. Jesus is now grown in this passage. Luke 3, 21, the Bible says this. Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, he'd already been dedicated to the Lord, but he wasn't baptized in that culture. That wasn't part of what they did. But all the believers, the followers of God, were dedicated to the Lord. But Jesus himself, at the age of 30, now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized, and while he was praying, heaven was opened, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven, you are my beloved son, and you, I am well pleased. And when he began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Eli. Why would that last bit? Because his father was actually in heaven. But the people didn't understand. They just knew this is Jesus was Joseph and Mary's boy. When we get baptized, we're doing exactly what Jesus did. Jesus himself, at 12 years old, he was amazing. Jesus was confounding the Jewish priests and the temple when he got lost. How do you lose baby? How do you lose Jesus? That's parenting 101 right there. Don't lose Jesus. But Jesus himself was presented at the temple as a baby, as a child. And when he was 30, in an act of obedience to his heavenly father, as an adult, as a believer, he was baptized. Why do we do what we do? We attempt to, as close as we can, to follow what the Bible says. And sometimes, and if I can say this, can I just caution us as a family not to be antagonistic towards other practices and other churches and other people? Because there's something inside of humanity that says, I'm doing it right, and that means you're doing it wrong. Can we not be like that as people? I have my children. When I read the Bible, can I do what I think is right from what I understand in the Bible and not attack other people as wrong for doing something different? Just a thought. I don't know. Just a thought. One of the things and reasons why we dedicate the children, our children, to the Lord is simply this. We're going to have some families come forward in a few minutes. Another aspect of why do we dedicate children? Honestly, and big part, it's for the parents. Lord Jesus, help. Yeah. If you don't have children, watch other parents. We have four children. And I will say this. Being a parent is the second hardest thing I've ever attempted to do. Being a good parent. No, trying to be a good parent, a responsible parent, is the second hardest thing I've ever attempted to do in my life. By far. What do you think the first hardest thing is? Being a really good spouse. Shh, Randy, no comments. It's so difficult raising children. These little people that look like you and then act like you, they have the audacity to act like you. And I always find it so bad when we were raising our kids for disciplining them for acting like me. Where did you learn that? Don't answer that question. Where did you learn that attitude? Shh. Stop. We're praying for parents as much as we are praying for the children, dedicating, Lord, bless this child, but help me, help us, help a family around us, moms, dads, cousins, nieces, nephews. Help us to have the wisdom to raise these children that they would grow up healthy with as limited emotional scars on the inside as possible. Lord, you've given us this human being, help. Help, help, help. And the fun thing is there's no end of people with opinions. Ever had somebody come and offer an opinion on how you should be raising your child? I love that so much. Actually, we had some really good friends. I won't mention their name, Ron and Sally Ball. Some of you will have known this couple. They had children before us. And this was probably our first child was born in 85. Yeah, something like that. Something like that. And about 1987, we had these really close friends, lived in Hazelwood, North County. And we'd ask them, hey, if you ever see us doing something that's not great in parenting, come talk to us. We didn't mean it. I did not mean what I said. And then they had the audacity to take us up on it. And Sally, she was a school teacher, brilliant, brilliant woman. And she came to us one day, she and her husband, Ron, they came to us and said, hey, can we meet with you just to help or to share some thoughts? Run, Toto, run. When somebody wants to come to you to share some thoughts, run. It's going to be painful. And so our daughter, our first daughter, our only child at the time, Kelly, she's so amazing. I love her. She's like her mother. She's two. And Ron and Sally came and said this to us as parents. We love you. Again, run. That's language for run. We love you, but we just want to help you. Run, 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 run. And they said it to me, Tom, you're raising a whiner. And I was like, Randy, what are you doing? I've got this girl in strict training classes. We don't have whining as part of our curriculum. Honey, what have you done? Sounds like the garden a little bit. It's, you know, it's the woman that you gave me. But as parents, we need help sometimes in raising our children. We don't do it right. We don't get it right. And if we have friends and family around us to help us, I'm not saying it takes a village, you know, to raise a family or a child. But in community, we love one another. We love each other enough to tell one another the truth as we understand. But we say it in love. We don't love to say the truth. We say the truth in love. Very different. There's no end of books on parenting, no end of opinions on parenting. There's no end of podcasts and seminars and my own painful experiences. Everybody's got advice on how to raise children. I love kids. They're wonderful. Our youngest son, we're going to have another son, grandson. Sorry, that's not, that would have been, we're going to have another son on Friday. What? Not true. We're going to have another grandson on Friday. He's going to be a really intelligent child. I can just tell. Yes. And so our youngest son, Andrew, many of you will have met him, know him. He had his first child 20 months ago, ish. Got a little girl, Evie. She's amazing. She's probably smarter than your child, but we're not comparing. And Evie, when she was, it's our youngest son, and it's our youngest son. And as this, his first child, Evie, was 2 months old, we're as grandparents, you learn one of two things. Speak and cause pain, or bite your tongue, say nothing. Unless they ask for advice. Just a thought. And so our son, I asked him, I said, son, you look so tired. I said, you getting any sleep? Kind of smiling, because I remember. Like, no, Dad. Both of us are up all night. And my daughter-in-law's a nurse. Amazing. And I said, well, are you guys taking shifts? Okay, this is what my son said. Two-month-old daughter. Dad, you wouldn't believe it. It takes two people to change her diaper. She's wild. It takes two people to change this two-month-old's diaper. Dad, she's unbelievable. She's out of control. Bad DNA. They're about to have their second one Friday. It's going to be great. What could go wrong? The bottom line is parents need help. They need, if possible, grandparents. They need friends, family to come alongside and help. Not just to give advice that's not asked for, but actually to have hands-on help, to love them, to help them. It's so challenging to raise children. When you look at helping them learn how to make their bed, the school years, sending them off to school for the first time if the school's outside of the house, sending them to the basement to do school, God bless you. Parenting, learning how to get your kids a driver's license. Don't do that. Let them bike, walk. Anybody here try and teach your kids how to drive? Yeah, I don't advocate that. The pain of seeing your kids go off to college for the first time, or the joy of seeing your kids go off to college for the first time. We all have different experiences. And having your kids move back home again, different experiences. Bottom line is, Lord, please help. It's to train our child's heart how to think. Training their hearts. Teaching our children how to listen. Teaching our children how to disagree. Teaching our children how to make good choices, how to control themselves, how to serve, how to love. It's such a huge job, being a parent. And if it were just on its own, if we just let it in an unhealthy way, overwhelming responsibility. And yet they're a joy. And you see these little guys and they're out playing, they're singing. We just watch, my oldest grandson just did what do they call those things? A play. I don't even know what that is, a play. It was a musical or something. They were singing songs. I didn't do that as a kid. I say that in jest. But you see your kids, grandchildren, experiencing things that you never did yourself. And it just makes your heart beam. Our little guy, he's 13 years old. He can sing. Not from my side of the family. But Lord, you think, how can I create an environment to raise healthy children? Proverbs 22, verse 6 says this. Training their heart. Proverbs 22, 6 says this. Train up a child and the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. I read this too many times. And then you read the same verse and then maybe a light bulb goes on, the 60 watt hits. You know, the little chain gets pulled. And I remember I was sitting in a room just like this and some guy was speaking, or more likely a lady. And she said, can you just read the verse a second? It says, train up a child in the way he should go. Yeah. Not the way I want them to go. And that takes insight. Lord, what do you have for little Johnny? What do you have for Susie? Well, we all get a college education in this family. What if Johnny is great with the trades, but you're going to make Johnny get a college education because that's what Kyles do? Train up a child in the way they should go. It takes wisdom. It takes insight. It takes connection with heaven, connection with Jesus. Train up a child in the way he should go. And we have to make room for our kids to grow up. Am I making room for our child? We were playing cards at a kitchen table in Chicago yesterday, and two of the grandsons are playing, and there's mom, dad, grandma, and grandpa, and the table was full, and the little guy, 7-year-old Joey, he comes over, he wants to play, and he's got a little attitude, and irritating mom and dad, I think, such a cute little guy, let him be. And there was no room at the table for him. And his brothers didn't want him to play because Joey whines. Maybe, again, a family trait, I don't know. And instantly, his dad got up, brought a chair over, and said, everybody scoot over, make room for your brother. And in family, can we make room for people who maybe are a little irritating, maybe a little different, maybe they don't like to play by the rules? In family, do we make room for people at the table? Do we make room for people in the family? Especially the ones that are... Anybody ever heard of OCD? Anybody hear of ODD? Yeah, it's just you have an odd child. We seem to have some of that in the Kyle family. Colossians 3, this is such a good word for parents. Colossians 3:21, the Bible says this. I'll conclude here in a second. We're going to bring the families up. Colossians 3:21 says this. This is the Bible. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. The New Living says this. New Living Version. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged. The Passion, I won't call it a translation because it's not, but the translation commentary, which is helpful at times, the Passion commentary says this, and fathers, don't have unrealistic expectations for your children, or else they may become easily discouraged. And I put in words in this passage just for me. I don't want to rewrite the Bible. But Lord, where am I falling down? Where am I falling short? And as fathers, don't exasperate. Don't be harsh with your kids. Don't be unrealistic with your children. But help them find success. Be kind. Be gracious. And Lord Jesus, help me to be patient with my children. And that's not giving them a, you know, carte blanche to go and do and be rude and disrespectful to us or other people. But have realistic expectations for my kids. And so why do we pray for, bring babies up and children up? Why we pray for the kids, but honestly, we're praying for the parents also. Help us to love our kids really well. Help us to have wisdom. Help us to have discernment. Matthew 19, verse 13, last scripture that I'll read this morning, I think. Matthew 19, verse 13 to 14. And it has something to do with the kids celebrating this morning and having fun in church. Heaven forbid that. Matthew 19, verse 13 and 14. Then some children were brought to him, capital H, Jesus. Then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them, the parents, the people. But Jesus said, let the children alone. Do not hinder them from coming to me. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. The disciples, who were mostly all teenagers, probably no kids. Peter's the only one that we know for sure was married. But all these disciples are teenagers, and these parents are bringing their kids. Can you bless my child? The teenagers who may not have a full grid for parenting or the value of children are like, hey, we're doing church stuff here. We're doing business here. We got stuff happening, important stuff. Don't bring your little snotty-nosed kids into this room. This is Jesus. And Jesus is like, ugh. I could have had a V8. I could have picked other disciples. What have I done? No, he doesn't say that. Jesus corrects them. He says, no. I've come for these little ones who haven't learned to be cynics, haven't learned to be sarcastic yet. They just take things at face value. They trust naturally. Bring the little kids to me. So why do we have fun times and fun activities with children? Why? Because we want kids to understand Jesus is fun. Jesus isn't uptight. Jesus was not religious. The religious people killed him for not being religious. They put him on a cross because he wasn't like them. Jesus was relatable. You wanted to be around Jesus. Kids love being around Jesus. Why? Because he had a smile on his face. He was probably giving away candy if they had candy. Honey. We'll say he's giving away honey. Can I have Randy, can you come up real quick? I just want to ever share a quick illustration, quick story. And this is not a good moment for me, what she's about to say. So just, you know, take it for face value. With a grain of salt. No, just teasing.
So, am I on? Here we go. So our first one is Kelly. She's 40 years old now. She was born in May. And when she was about 6 weeks old, I opened the windows because it was a nice day. And
it was probably 30 degrees at best.
No, it was a nice day. And when Tom came home from work, she was all snuffly. And the first words out of his mouth were, don't you know how easily babies can get sick, can get pneumonia? And because, you know, we know we have medical backgrounds. No. Well,
I took a science class in high school, okay?
Yeah.
Pretty medical.
So that was a seed that went into my heart and immediately created fear and panic. I'm a first-time mom. I don't know. I don't know about this. I went to the pastor's wife because it bothered me so bad and said, you need to teach moms how to deal with this fear. What do we do with this
fear? Keep your windows closed. No fresh air. Yeah.
So she helped me in the moment. She was very kind, but she never did anything with it. And I just remember reading my Bible just one day, and I came across Psalm 139, where it says, where can I flee from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And I heard just kind of put Kelly's name in there. Where can Kelly go from your spirit? Where can she flee from your presence? If she goes up to the heavens, you are there. If she makes her bed in the depths, you are there. If she rises on the wings of the dawn or settles on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide her. Your right hand will hold her fast. She's 40. We are still speaking that over her life, and we've added our other children to it. If you have some time, sometime, just put your kid's name in Psalm 139 and declare it over them. I mean, it's for them, as for their health, as babies, as they grow up, for jobs, for stress, anxiety, and worry. And what this did was this dispelled the fear, because it was the truth. And I had a weapon. I finally had a weapon that I could use to dispel that fear. And it's we still do it today.
Yes, good. Father, thank you for this morning. We thank you. We, again, just commit these children to you. They're your children. We remind ourselves they're gifts from heaven. You love them more than we do. We bless them. We love them. We ask for wisdom and insight. Pray for strength and courage for moms and dads, understanding, kindness, patience beyond our lips. And we'd raise them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Bless these family, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Okay, our meeting is dismissed.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.